lifestyle. The experts are here now. You're listening to It's Your Health Radio. And here's your host, Lisa Davis.
I am a huge animal lover, and if you listen to my show, you've probably heard me mention my pit bull border terrier mix Bailey and my Irish setter German shepherd mix Bobo. Now, for all of you animal lovers like me, I have some great news.
I like that name, pit bull.
Oh, Bobo. Aren't those interesting mixes?
Thinking about myself, a border terrier, huh?
Yeah.
That's not a dog that gets around. That's not the kind of dog that usually has the opportunity to get around and sow its wild oats like that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting, Mark, because it looks like the dog from Something About Mary, but in a pit bull-sized body.
Uh-huh.
And it's adorable. And then Bobo is just gorgeous. And they act like they're puppies. People always ask me if they're puppies, even though they have gray on their ears. So I'm
Dogs live a lot longer now than they did when we were kids.
Yeah, they sure do. But, you know, I'm so excited to have you on because your show is premiering on Monday, January 3rd at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. A whole new season of Pet Keeping with Mark Maroney on the Hallmark Channel. And Martha Stewart's the executive producer. And I am very excited.
People come in and they ask me what to do with their pets. And I tell them what to do with their pets. And I give a hug and a kiss and send them on their way. And that's basically what people are going to be seeing. It's just what I do every day anyhow.
Oh, that's great. Well, I have a question. I know that your first parakeet was named Jinxie, which is adorable. And then by 18, I know that your pet collection had outgrown your parents' house. What animals were in that collection?
Oh, gee, violated local zoning laws. I mean, I've had every. I mean, you know, you're going back to the 70s. At that time, you know, you could have monkeys, you could have everything. You know,
wow.
So whatever you know, whatever wouldn't eat me, I would try and keep as a pet.
Oh, that's great.
And sometimes they would try and eat me, and then I'd say, you know, something that's not a good animal to keep as a pet.
Oh, I thought you said whatever would try to meet you, and I'm sitting here saying, oh, that's great, and listeners are thinking, geez, Lisa, you think it's great that an animal is trying to eat him? You're very compassionate.
Yeah, well, I try. Like I says, you know, that's how I learned about keeping them. You couldn't, you know, there was no internet in those days, and you can only learn so much from the World Book or Encyclopedia or Encyclopedia Britannica.
I actually have a question. My dog Bailey, my pit bull mix, he's 10. Okay, so he's got these large fat lumps, and I'm sure people listening, if they have older dogs, they've seen this because our veterinarian told us it's very common. But honestly, Mark, one of them is so big near his private area, it looks like he has an udder. I mean, it's practically...
Doesn't want to take it off?
No, they said it's no problem. They said as long as it isn't bothering him. But I'm guessing
it's
because
it bothers me just hearing it.
You should. Well, trust me, it's not pleasant itching his belly.
And the other problem is every time you hit the dog on the street, everybody points at you like you're some kind of animal abuser.
Okay, so we might want to look into it.
I mean, if the vet said, yeah, I mean, maybe the vet is just, you know, saying, no, just leave it alone because he thinks you don't want to take it off.
Oh, okay.
But the vet feels that Bailey is a good candidate. If the vet feels that Bailey is a good candidate for surgery,
okay,
and that it would be no problem to remove it, and you know, myself, I couldn't look at that without I'm scratching myself now just hearing you talk.
No,
but if the vet says, no, I don't think Bailey's a good candidate for surgery like that, you know, it would be better if you just live with it,
well,
then you just live with it.
That's, I think part of it, and this is a question you can answer, is the fact that he's 10. Could they be nervous about putting him under for something that isn't absolutely necessary? And
well, you shouldn't be nervous. The vet's
okay.
The one who's actually doing it.
Okay.
The vet doesn't want to have any problems if he can avoid it.
Okay.
All right? You know, don't forget, this. It's not like the dog got hit by a car and you're rushing it in and has to undergo emergency surgery. This is elective surgery. So the vet's not going to choose to do this unless he or she looks like a hero.
Oh, I see.
Okay, now, so the vet says, no, I don't think your dog is a good candidate for the anesthesia, then you have to respect the vet's opinion. But the vet feels, oh, no, it shouldn't be a problem for me to do this, and you don't want to look at that, and I'm sure Bailey would be more comfortable without it.
Now, how often
and you want to
do
avoid
these...
the stares and people pointing their fingers at you.
That's true. Now, Mark, how often do these fat lumps occur in older dogs?
Every dog is different.
Yes.
You know, I've got my dachshund who's 15, and she's slick and clean as a whistle.
Oh.
But, you know, I've got other dogs that, you know, covered with them. It's just something that, you know, it's something that happens. And years ago when dogs didn't live as long, you know, they usually died of old age before these things happened.
So it's not doesn't mean there's something wrong. I mean, he gets an hour running off leash in the woods.
Something wrong,
he
eats healthy.
Okay, so it's just something that can happen to dogs. Another question I have is my 6-year-old daughter is obsessed with chinchillas and hamsters.
I love chinchillas.
That's why I'm so. Well, see, this is the thing. both of my dogs, they like to hunt small rodents. And so my husband's afraid if we get a chinchilla, that's going to be included. So,
well, I mean, here's the deal. If a chinchilla was running across the backyard, okay, yes, they would hunt it. But think about it.
Okay.
Dogs and cats have been kept on farms where there was rabbits and little goats and little lambs and little pigs, and they are able to tell the difference between a prey animal and a non-prey animal. And this is instinctive. It goes back to a wolf looking over a herd of reindeer and evaluating each animal to determine which one is worth chasing and which one is not worth chasing. So if you have a chinchilla in a cage in your house, and the animal and the dog, the key is for the dog to be able to look at the chinchilla and answer all his questions about it. And if the chinchilla is sitting there in his cage looking at the dog, and the dog is looking at the chinchilla, and nothing is happening, then what does the dog conclude? That this is not a prey animal.
Okay, this is good, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there who might have that, where maybe their young child, or maybe themselves, they want some sort of...
So, of course, though, you know, when if the chinchilla was running across the room unsupervised and the dog was there, then it might forget that it had made it that decision.
Mine would forget in a second, Mark.
The dogs, once they come to the conclusion that this animal that sits in the cage and looks at them is not a prey animal, then they're not going to go out of the way for it. But, of course, every dog is different. But this has been my experience. You know, I've never had a time when there was less than 8 dogs in my house, and we have all sorts of animals also.
So what are some of the benefits that you find having a chinchilla?
Well, chinchillas are a lot of work, first of all.
Oh,
remember,
really?
your daughter wants it, but the best pet for a child is whatever pet the child's mother wants to take care of.
Okay.
Right, chinchillas are a lot of work. The cage has to be cleaned every day. Mm-hmm. They need to be dusted every day. In other words, you have to put a bowl of dust in the cage and they have to roll in that, and the dust goes flying all over.
Really?
Their diet has to be hay and chinchilla pellets with a few assorted vegetables or fresh greens. So they need a very, very large cage.
Wow.
You need a cage like 3 feet tall. A hamster is very, very easy.
Yeah, I had a hamster growing up. He lived for 3.5 years, which I've heard is a really long time. Well, my mother wouldn't let us have a dog. She was afraid of dogs, so I willed that hamster to live as long as possible.
Yeah, that's a good score for a hamster. But a hamster is very, very easy.
Mm.
You know what's cute, too? Gerbils. Gerbils are cute because they're a monogamous rodent, one of the few monogamous rodents. Mm-hmm. They live in pairs, and they're awake during the day, unlike hamsters.
Oh, okay.
So they're very, very active. They're always doing something during the day. I love gerbils. They're one of my favorite small rodent pets.
Now, are chinchillas affectionate? I mean, do they like to
They're very affectionate.
Okay.
You know, mine jump on my shoulder. My son has a hoodie, and they crawl into the hood part of it. They're very, very affectionate. But they're a lot more work than most people give them credit for.
Now, what do you think about mice and rats? That's another thing my daughter happens.
Well, think about mice. I mean, the whole... Mickey Mouse is a billion-dollar industry.
Exactly, I know.
All right, mice and rats are probably the most loved animals on the planet and the most feared and hated all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But they're highly underrated as pets. And there's nothing bad to say about a mouse or a rat as a pet. Rats are extremely intelligent, and they can be trained to do all sorts of behaviors.
Oh.
They'll come when you call them. They're clean and quiet. They're odorless. They're very, very friendly. There's nothing bad to say about mice or rats as pets. And two small color mice, like a black one and a brown one, can live in a very small cage, produce like no mess, and they're extremely very, very nice. And the tails are so graceful. I just love the tail of a mouse.
Yeah, see, I do too. Okay, that's good to know. Another question I have is, I heard that if you already have dogs and then you bring a cat in, it's best to do it when the dog's a puppy. But it sounds like from what you said earlier that they're not going to be chasing after the cat. I mean, I've never had
a cat.
It's
a little harder in a situation like that because
let's
assume that you bring a full-grown cat into the house and your dog is full-grown, your dog is cat-aggressive. So it's a little more intense with that because, remember, they have to encounter each other in a non-confrontational manner.
Oh, that's right. So the cage is what...
Let's say the cat's living in a bedroom at first. The cat's under the bed. You put a leash on the dog, you bring the dog into the bedroom, you sit down in a chair with the dog on a leash, and you watch TV for 2 hours.
Okay.
So what's happening in that time? The cat's under the bed glaring at the dog. The dog is fixated at under the bed, but nothing's happening.
Yeah.
So what are they deciding? The dog is sniffing and sniffing and sniffing. The cat's, all the animals' questions about each other are being answered. And that's enough for one day. You do it again the next day and the next day and the next day. And what does the cat learn? The cat learned that it has nothing to fear from this dog. And what does the dog learn? The dog learns that this creature that's living under the bed is not afraid of it and doesn't run when he chases it. And do you ever hear the term familiarity breeds contempt?
Yes.
Once they become familiar with each other, they become contemptuous of each other in the worst of circumstances, or they become friends in the best of circumstances.
Oh,
but they have to become familiar with each other in a non-confrontational setting.
Oh, that's great advice. I love your Parrots of the World website, and I was watching your holiday tips on that you put together. And this is what I love about your show. You just have all of these animals, like, they're probably one on top of the other. They're on
well,
your shoulders.
Like my house.
It's wonderful, though.
It is.
See, it makes me think you have, like, these
magic
pets.
Remember, they're domesticated animals. It's not like I have lions and bears with each other, okay? They're domesticated animals, and domesticated animals have been living together on farms and agricultural settings since the beginning of time.
Okay.
I mean, look at the movie Babe, okay?
Oh, I love
What's
Babe.
On the farm? You got ducks and chickens and rabbits and cows and horses and dogs and cats.
I know.
I do the same thing on my TV show, but it's just, you know, focused on one screen.
That's true. Like I said,
so there's no magic to it. I'm just doing what our ancestors have selectively bred our pets to do thousands of years ago.
Now, is this one of the things that you'll be looking at on your show, is bringing new pets into the home, older pets?
Whatever people have, I address.
Because, you know, this is a health show, so I'm really concerned about dogs. It's not, you know, I'm a dog person. Getting enough exercise and eating a good diet.
Naturally, my circle of friends is a bazillion vets. I have two vets that work for me, of course, because I'm not, everybody thinks I'm a vet, but I'm certainly not a vet. I'm not an expert. You know, I barely have a driver's license. I have vets that work for me. I'm friends with lots of vets. So they all come on my show to spend vet advice because people always ask me veterinary questions. And my veterinary answers are always, ask the vet. Don't ask me. I can barely put a Band-Aid on a finger.
Now, how do you have time to care for all of your pets with all the interesting things that you're doing?
I just love taking care of animals. My favorite time of the day is in the morning. You know, I get up at like 4 and I come to my son. I just take care of everything. You know, and there's no phones, there's no people, and that's what I've always wanted to do. I just like taking care of animals. I like feeding them, I like cleaning the cages, I like giving them baths. I just enjoy animal husbandry, it's called, and that's my passion.
Now, how many do you have right now in your house?
Lots. I don't know who's listening. Lots. I don't want my neighbors to hear. Nobody knows what's in my house.
Mark, I'm telling you, do you do stand-up also, because you're cracking me, up? You are a lot of fun.
Well, thank you.
And it's so wonderful to learn and have fun at the same time, which is what I do on It's Your Health.
People take everything so seriously.
Yes, they do. You have
to have a
good time.
Like, they go on the internet to find out about pets, and it seems like everything on the internet that's written about taking care of pets is written by angry people.
Who want to scare you?
Do it my way or else.
Oh, my goodness.
There's 42 different ways of feeding a dog, and obviously they all work, because people have been feeding dogs lots of different things since the beginning of time.
Now, I have a question about feeding dogs. What about gas? Let's just cut to the chase here. I tell you, my dogs, they turned around 9, and I had to get them special food from the vet, because we were trying to give them this all-natural stuff, because I'm crunchy. I eat all whole grains, and I thought, well, if I eat all whole grains and whole foods, I want my dogs to do the same. So I get them the dog food with the sweet potato pieces and the peas and the whole thing. And it just was like a gas attack. We couldn't even sit in the same room with them. So
yeah, the veterinary medicine's got all sorts of things to take care of that.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, so, I speak from experience.
Because
all sorts of things that we used to take care of. I wish I could take it myself.
Well, they have Beano for dogs.
You don't have to suffer. There's all sorts of ways around it.
Oh, that's good. You are just delightful. And I am really excited. So January 3rd. 12 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, I'm on every day. Isn't that amazing? Like, leave it to Beaver.
Leave it to Mark, right?
Yeah.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I've had beavers as pets, too.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, they're fascinating.
Oh, how did you see, my daughter always asks for non-domesticated pets. She's, like, obsessed. When can I have a raccoon? Or when can I have a beaver? When can I? It's like, you can't. And I'm like,
no, you can't. I mean, the chinchilla was too much work. You imagine what a 40-pound beaver is?
How did you happen to, I got to hear this story. I'm sure my listeners. How did you happen to get a beaver? Like, what happened?
We want to know. Okay. I was 12 years old, and I had a copy of Boy's Life, and there was a guy, a trapper in Minnesota, who advertised baby beavers and baby otters. And he would trap the mothers that were pregnant, and he would keep them. They'd have babies in captivity, and his wife would bottle feed the babies, and they'd sell them as pets. And I had a beaver as a pet. I had it for 10 years.
Oh, bottle feeding a beaver. That must have been so cute.
But he was cute when he was little, but when he grew up to be a 40-pound beaver with big yellow teeth, you know, he couldn't schlep him to school anymore. But he was very friendly, and I had a lot of fun with him. A very social animal. A bunny rabbit or a guinea pig's a lot easier to keep.
Oh, my daughter's also obsessed with pigs. What do you think of pot-belly pigs for pets?
Pigs, they're great, great pets for the right family.
Okay,
and
what
circumstance?
What kind of circumstance would that
be? Well, first of all, they have to be legal where you live. They're still considered farm animals.
Yeah, that's true.
And if your local municipality says you can't have a farm animal, it doesn't matter that it's a small pig or a big pig. It's still a pig in the eyes of the law.
Okay.
The other issue is that they have certain restrictions physically wise. I mean, they have trouble going up and down stairs. It's hard to get veterinarians to take care of them. When you go on holiday, it's hard to find somebody to take care of them. When you get a pig as a pet, you really become an outcast of society because you are not equipped to handle all everyday problems that keeping a pig arises with. Mm. And maybe you are. I mean, I've had lots of pigs. I love pigs as pets, but I equip myself where I have someone that can take care of when you go on vacation. I've got ramps so they can go up and down since they have trouble with stairs. You know, there's all sorts of ways around it, but you just can't come home with a little pig and expect it's all going to work out like it will with a dog. People, look at all the problems people have with dogs, all right? Mm-hmm. All these problems, and a lot of the problems they make up because they forget that dogs are instinctive animals. So can you imagine having a pig in the house, you know, if you have all these issues with dogs? Many people buy pigs as pets, and then they don't want to keep them, and they dump them at these sanctuaries run by people with hearts of gold that just take care of, you know, other people's outcasts.
Yes.
You know, and they just do it out of the goodness of their heart, and it's not fair to these people to be cleaning up the messes of other people who have just researched it a bit, then the problem never would have happened.
Exactly. And doesn't that happen a lot around Easter time that people think, oh, bunnies are cute,
oh,
and,
bunnies
and
all the
chicks,
time.
And then, yeah.
I mean, every morning when I come in, there's a box on the doorstep with a rabbit or a guinea pig or an iguana or a snake, or once it was a Great Dane tied to the parking meter. You have no idea.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, all your good advice is going to help because people really need to look into it. I'll be honest. When I fell in love with my dog, Bailey, the pit mix, I didn't even know what he was. I went to the pound. He had a hurt leg. They said, you know, you're going to have to pay to get surgery and this. And I said, I don't care. He just looked so cute. And he was in the back of the cage and his little head was resting on his paw. And I just said, we're taking him home. And then he came home. He chewed up everything in the house because we didn't crate him. And I never had a dog.
Yeah, but it worked out.
Yeah.
Some people can accept random events in their life and
exactly.
Some people can't.
Yes. No. There was a moment where I'm like, what did we do? But there was, yeah, I mean, he's been amazing. And he picked out Bomber, which is, that was what his name was. We call him Bobo. You know, we brought him to the pound and we show him a bunch of different dogs and he liked him. He likes all dogs. But he saw Bobo and he did the full body wag and they played. And yeah, it really did. It really did. Well, Mark, I want to thank you so much. I'm going to be watching Pet Keeping with Mark Baroni on Monday. It premieres January 3rd at 12 p.m. Is this going to be a daily, five-day?
Yeah, every day. Is that amazing?
Oh, that is amazing. I wish I knew something so I could come on and hang out with you. You're so fun. I want to thank you again. Now, tell us your website and any other way we can learn more about you.
Well, the best way is to go to MarthaStewart.com. I'm all over her website because I've been working for Martha Stewart for 15 years. She's the one that produced the show because she's got lots of pets herself.
Oh, that's great. That's terrific. Okay.
Just go to MarthaStewart.com and click onto the pets part of the website. You'll find everything there.
Oh, terrific. And if people want to learn more about
it. Or you go to Hallmark.com, too.
Oh, great. Yeah, I like the Hallmark channel. That's great.
Yeah, Hallmark channel is the one that, I mean, they came out here and they're the ones that wooed me to do all this.
Ooh, oh, I like that. It's fun to be wooed. That's awesome, Mark. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you took the time to be on the show today.
You invited me. You're a fun person to talk to.
Thank you. I know my listeners are going to love it. And if you want to learn more, you can go to itsyourhealthnetwork.com. I'm very excited. Starting in January, I'm going to be on KABC in Los Angeles doing book reviews on their medical show. I'm also on KKZZ in Ventura County. I'm on 96.9 at Boston Talks doing book reviews from time to time. And you can always catch me on It's Your Health here in Boston. I hope everyone has a great day. Take care. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Of what's coming up and archived shows, go to www.itsyourhealthnetwork.com.